Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, we're going to read one verse there. While you're turning, I'm going to read another verse in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, verse 30, the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now you're at Mark chapter 15, and look down to Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. Read this verse with me, if you would, please. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." And then if you would turn also in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And again, while you're turning there, I'll read a verse to you out of Acts chapter 1. Acts 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." All right, now you're at Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read together one verse here, verse number 19. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Ready? "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And let's pray. Father, we surely thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the songs that we've heard and we've been able to sing and how we've been challenged already. And now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would meet with us in a very special way in this time. May each of our hearts be tuned to listen to you. May you give our preacher your power. And may you do something in our hearts that would not be forgotten. May there be a change made because of this time we spend here today. We love you, Lord. Amen. This morning, I'm going to, first of all, describe some churches in regard to their concern for the souls of men. Then, I want to preach a sermon to you that I've entitled, Stingy Soul Winning. Stingy Soul Winning. There are some so-called churches out there that don't even believe in a need of salvation. I think probably scripturally they don't even qualify to carry the title church. They're just organizations. There are churches where there are no people saved. Their missionaries see no one saved. They don't have anybody saved in their church services. They have no personal soul winning, and eventually those churches die because there's no reproduction to keep people coming into the church. Then there are churches where only their missionaries see people saved. They somehow have this idea that they support a missionary and the missionary takes care of the obligation of reaching people. So they have some missionaries that get some people saved, but they don't have anybody saved in their church services. There dead sure is no personal soul winning that goes on. And yet, there is a fourth type of a church where their missionaries see people saved, and then in their church services, from time to time, they'll have someone saved. Often, these are the type of churches that will have a two-week revival meeting, and that's where they put all their effort into getting people saved. They bring folks in, frequently bring in a special speaker that's an evangelist, and for 2 weeks, they launch a campaign of trying to get people saved, and that's wonderful. But then there's no personal soul winning, no obligation of the individual Christian to witness. And then finally, there are those churches where they support missionaries that are winning people to Jesus Christ on the foreign field. And then in their church service, they get people saved as a result of the preaching of the gospel. And then thirdly, they have soul winning programs where their people, as individuals, go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, fulfilling their obligation to win the world to the Savior. That last type of church, that's the kind of church you're in right now. We support soul-winning missionaries that go around the world, not just for the sake of feeding and doctoring, but for the sake of saving the soul of the individuals around the world. We then present the gospel continuously right here on this church property in every church service. In the Spanish service this morning, the gospel will be presented. In all the children's services this morning, the preaching services, the gospel will be presented this morning in this service. I'll tell you before the end of the morning, you need to get born again. So not only do our missionaries win souls, our church services are set up to be productive in regard to the souls of men, but not only that, our church believes that you, as a born-again Christian, are responsible by God. God expects you and I to be witnessing and sharing the gospel with others. I want you to understand, and I'm going to read some scripture to you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Notice there's a wonderful thing. There's an offer of wisdom. There's a benefit that's attached to soul winning. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that says to both you and to me that we are to tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm going to read some of those verses. We read together the first three or four, but I'm going to read them again. Once again, the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Telling you and me, as born-again Christians, we ought to be telling others about Christ. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Matthew 4:19, "He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Acts chapter 5, verse number 42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They were going to the houses of people, and the individuals were knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." John chapter 15, verse 16 tells us that you and I should be bearing fruit as Christians. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, over and over and over again, Christians are commanded, prompted, and almost pleaded with from God in regard to this thing of telling others about Jesus Christ. We should be soul winners for the sake of the lost. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You see, you and I are born again Christians. We will not go to hell. We will not suffer in that lake of fire. That ought to prompt us to not want anybody else to go to hell. I mean, you, when you discovered salvation and you discovered Jesus Christ, you found a very, very wonderful discovery, and you and I ought to be telling others about Jesus so they don't go to hell. There are other reasons why you and I should tell others about Christ. We should be soul winners for the sake of our country. Romans 10:1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I really believe this. If you're truly a patriotic American, you don't want the American citizen to go to hell. If you truly love America, then you want America to remember her roots, which is one nation under God. We as Americans ought to want our country to be saved. We as Americans ought to want God's blessing on our country. So I think as Christians, you and I ought to tell others about Christ for the sake of the lost. I think as Christians, we ought to tell others about Christ for the sake of our country. I think that you and I should be soul winners for the sake of the Lord himself. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Here the Bible says our God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. That means something to the heart of God, which means you and I, if we're concerned about the heart of God, then we should be concerned about the souls of men. Because he's not willing, it means he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And if you want to be like God, or if you would like to do something that would please your God, you too should be concerned about people not going to hell. It breaks God's heart when people die and go to hell. That's not what he wants. So, You and I should win the loss for the sake of the lost so they don't go to hell. You and I should win the loss for the sake of our country. God blesses a country where the people are saved. You and I should win the loss because that's dear to the heart of our God. I think you and I should be soul winners for the sake of this world, not just our country. John 4:35, it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest." And let me tell you something. This whole world is white unto harvest. This is talking about somebody looking into the field and realizing there is a great harvest, and somebody has to go out and do something about all the people that need to be born again. Not only here in America do they need the Lord Jesus Christ, but all around this world they need our God. They need salvation. Brother Heidenreich just came back from a campaign in the Philippines and seeing people saved by the thousands. Dr. Don Smith right now is down in South America there for the purpose of trying to get people saved. Why? They looked. They seen that the field was white unto harvest. And it's not just a matter of you and I caring about one individual that's lost that needs to be saved or just our country. The world is dying and going to hell. And you and I as Christians ought to care about this world in which we live. Not only that, we should be soul winners for the sake of heaven. The Bible says in Luke 15:10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Of course, in heaven there is rejoicing that goes on when somebody gets saved. It says here, in the presence of the angels. Well, in the presence of the angels is Jesus. I think we ought to get people saved because that does something for the heart of Jesus. But I think also here, in the presence of the angels, you have the saints of God. And I think if it's possible, I don't know how, if heaven can be made a better place, it is made a better place because people get born again. And I think you and I ought to be telling others about Jesus for the sake of heaven and populating heaven. I think you and I ought to care about the souls of men, maybe for the sake of children. Mark chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Hey, little children need somebody to care about them. Little children need somebody that will help them. They say most people get saved in their childhood and in their teenage years. They get older and they get hard and they get disinterested and they get deceived by the devil. Thank God for the children that get saved. Was it many days ago, one of our fine families brought to me a little 5-year-old boy, I think 4 or 5 years of age, and said, "Preacher, we think he's ready for salvation, but we're a little timid about this whole thing." And I got down there on the floor, and I was talking, and I was trying to figure out if this little fella understood it, but sure enough, he understood that he was a sinner, and sure enough, he understood that there was a place called heaven. He understood who Jesus was, and in a matter of just a little while, that little 4-year-old boy, in the simplest and in the most precious faith, said, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me." Hey, we got one that the devil will never get. We got one while their heart was tender and they still had a childlike faith. And listen to me, you and I ought to be telling others about Christ for the sake of the children of the world. I think you and I ought to be soul winners for the sake of the families of our country. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." There's nothing that can straighten up a marriage and nothing that can straighten up a family quicker than an old dose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get a daddy saved and you get a mama saved. God can go to work on healing a marriage. God can take a house that's a house of hell and a house of ruckus and fighting and torment. And God can turn it into a place of peace and love and gentleness. We've got to get people saved to salvage the families in our country. I think we ought to be soul winners for the sake of our church. Revelation 2:4 says, speaking of the church of Ephesus, the revelator said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast lost their first love." I think there are many churches that have gotten off track and they have lost their first love. They've lost a love and the understanding of a responsibility that the church is a tool used by Jesus Christ to save a world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the primary purpose of the New Testament church, is to keep people out of hell. I'm for having programs and I'm for having nice buildings, and thank God for everything we have around here. But if we ever
ever get off track, we ever stop and lose sight of the fact there are people dying and going to hell, we have lost our right to hold our head high about what we are as a church. Let's never lose our first love. You say, what ought to be our first love? Keeping people out of hell.
You see, folks, we would go soul winning if it did not build our church.
We don't go soul winning around here because it builds a church. We go soul winning around here because we're commanded to go soul winning. Now, thank God that a byproduct of soul winning can be the growth of the church, but we have to understand, we need to go soul winning no matter what it does. It helps us obey the commission that God has given us. You see, there are a lot of reasons that God gives you and I to go soul winning. We ought to go for the sake of the lost so they don't go to hell. We ought to go soul winning for the sake of our country because God blesses the salt or the saved of a country. We ought to go soul winning because what it brings to the Lord and how he doesn't want any to perish. And we ought to go soul winning because there's a lost and dying world out there, and go soul winning because what it does to heaven, and go soul winning because it salvages the lives of children and families, and it makes a church what it ought to be. See, God gives us many reasons why you and I ought to be soul winners. This morning, may I appeal to your stingy side. I call this sermon Stingy Soul Winning. May I appeal to your concern for you? May I appeal to one of your favorite causes, your cause? Let's, if we could for a moment, put aside soul winning for the purpose of the lost and soul winning for the purpose of the country, soul winning for the purpose of the Lord and the world and heaven and children and families and church. I'd like to recommend you do something for yourself. You see, I truly believe, as a young man, I learned the philosophy of I, as a pastor, should not use my people to build my work, but I should use my work to build my people. You know, when you're asked to teach a Sunday school class, did you know something? Did you know that the teacher usually gets more out of teaching a Sunday school class than the students do? Did you know that when you're required to teach the Bible, it makes you study the Bible, it makes you understand the Bible and learn the Bible? Did you know that when I gave you a Sunday school class, you're building it as a byproduct of your getting closer to God and learning the Bible and studying the Bible and learning to pray and learning to walk with God? I don't want to use our people to build this church, but I want to use this church to build our people. And let me say something to you. Soul winning produces great Christians. Not just the winning of the lost am I referring to. I'm telling you, soul winning builds great Christians. Hey, soul winning changes the life of the soul winner. Hey, God improves the life of the soul winner faster than the life of the non-soul winner. Go soul winning. Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. You say, what? Should I not do it for the lost? Sure. But I happen to know something about the human race. We have a problem. We're stingy. You ever struggle with that? You ever wonder? Yeah, you ever wonder what you want to do, but usually what's good for you, and what do you get out of it, and what's in it for me? That's always there with the human race. But let me tell you something. There's an awful lot that you get out of soul winning, and I'm not just talking about the salvation of a soul from going to hell. I'm talking about things that are going to happen to you. You say, Brother Owens, I want to be a successful Christian. Brother Owens, I want to grow in the Lord. Brother Owens, I want to succeed. Brother Owens, there's so much I want out of life. Let me tell you a little bit of a short a path to getting what you want out of life, Christian, become a soul winner. I call it stingy soul winning. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, soul winning will help you have a joyful life. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here the Bible says people that go out soul winning, when they come back, there will be rejoicing. Soul winning will help you to have a happier life. Soul winning will add joy to your life. I really believe this. There are some of you, you're depressed. Can I tell you something that would help you? Go win someone to Jesus Christ. Go win someone to Jesus Christ. Make an eternal difference in somebody else's life, and it'll get you out of the mully grubs. It'll get you encouraged. This is a promise from God. You go out and sow the seed. You'll come back, and you'll be happy. You'll be happy that you won someone. You'll be happy that you met someone. You'll be happy that you made a positive difference in somebody's life. Soul winners are happier Christians. I'll not forget this summer. We went July 25th down to the Capitol, Washington, D.C., and went soul winning all day long. Had over 1,600 people saved. It was amazing how happy everybody was around here. We are all coming back from our Capitol, and there are people just laughing and carrying on. Hey, we had not gone and got drunk. We were not out partying. We were not out sinning. We were making a difference in the lives of people, and oh, were we bubbly and happy. Lady that day had gone out soul winning. It really is negative most of the time. Always got something to gripe about. I'll never forget. Never forget her testimony. She was happy. She said, oh, I got to win these people Christ. And oh, it was so much fun. And oh, we need to do that again. I thought, well, we do it every week now. Maybe you do need to do it again, because I'd rather hear you laugh and smile and be positive and be negative and downcast. Soul winning will get you a happier life. Soul winners enjoy life better. The happiest people I have ever known were people that were soul winners. Some of you know of the late Dr. Carl Hatch. You talk about a guy that laughed. Dr. Hatch would just chuckle and carry on. We call him Mr. Soul Winner. But that fellow would get to laughing and chuckle and have a good time. I'm telling you, there's something in this thing for you. Hey, soul winning will help you to have joy in your life. Secondly, soul winning will help you to be wiser. Help you to be wiser. How about, let's get stingy here and do some soul winning. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There is that soul winning attached to this thing called wisdom. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, turning people to righteousness. And God said, there's a certain wisdom in it. See, you are wise for going soul winning, but I think you become wise because you went soul winning. You are given wisdom as a result of obeying the Great Commission to seeing other people saved. God gives wisdom to the soul winner. Hey, let me tell you something. God wants you to have wisdom, especially if you're a soul winner. Why? Wisdom will help you to become more productive for the cause of Christ. But I think that wisdom far expands further than just soul winning. You become a soul winner, and you say, I need wisdom. You become a soul winner, and God will give you wisdom to make you a more productive Christian. But wait a minute. That wisdom will bleed over into how you handle yourself at work and how you bleed over. It'll bleed over into how you handle yourself with your family and situations in life. God said, I'll give you some wisdom. You say, why would God give such a precious thing? Because you are after precious souls. God's going to reward you, you see. See, soul winning will help you to become wiser. Soul winning will help you to have a better, joyful life. Let me say thirdly, soul winning will help you to have more friends. It'll help you to have more friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that's sick and closer than a brother. You know something? There's no better way to show yourself friendly than to keep somebody out of hell. I mean, I want you to stop and think about it. If you say that you're somebody's friend, and they're not saved, and you don't tell them how to be saved, and they die and go to hell, you really consider yourself a friend? A friend would let a friend die and go to hell? Surely not. Not biblical friendship. But wait a minute here. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. I can't think of a better way of expressing friendship than to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and tell them how to be saved and show them their way to the Savior. You know something I noticed? Did you know that most of the Apostle Paul's good friends were people that he had won to Christ? We won't go to all the scripture, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2, Paul says of Timothy, mine own son in the faith. And you know, you read your Bible and you see that Paul wrote a letter to Timothy and then another letter to Timothy. Let me tell you, you're seeing letters written back and forth between two friends. Who were these friends? It was Paul and Timothy. And Paul had won Timothy to Christ, and now they're bosom buddies and they love each other and they write back and forth. Hey, you will have more and better friends if you're a soul winner. Titus, Paul says in Titus 1 verse 4, he says, "Mine own son after the common faith." He is speaking to, Paul is writing to Titus. He said, "My own son." You see, Paul was the spiritual father of Titus, and Paul was the spiritual father of Timothy, meaning he had actually won them to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, you talk about some good friends. Paul was a friend of Timothy. Paul was a friend to Titus. Titus was a friend of Paul. Where did this relationship start? Soul winning. Soul winning. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Onesimus. You read about him in Philemon chapter 1, verse number 10. And in that verse, Paul refers to Onesimus. He calls him my son. What does that mean? He said, "I am your spiritual father. I won you to Jesus Christ." And there again, Paul, through the Bible, had the names of the people that he'd won to Christ. They were his friend, and he were their friends. You know, there's a special bond between soul winners and their converts. There's something about it. I have it this morning. Not yet, but in a few hours, there will be a young man that will stand in a pulpit of the church that he started. He went to a city in Colorado. He knew no one. He went there and went around and started knocking on doors and gathered up enough people, and he started a church, and they met in an old hotel, and before long they were able to buy a building, and now every Sunday morning a congregation of people will meet in that little church there in Colorado. But many years ago, I took my Bible out and I showed that young man how he could be saved, for he was not. He was lost. He was on his way to hell. And I had the privilege of showing a young man how to be born again and explaining to him how to walk down an aisle and get baptized and explain to him about the call of God on his life, and through the process of time, God called him. He surrendered to preach. He went off to Bible college. He then went out to Colorado to start a church, and in a couple hours there behind us in time, that young man will stand in a pulpit. He'll preach from the same book from which I preach. He will preach the same gospel that's printed in that book. He'll have the same power of God upon his life. And I'm going to tell you something. He and I are pretty good friends. Pretty good friends. Soul winning develops a Christian into being a person that's expressive about their love to people. I have a very dear relationship with our assistant pastor, Craig Bush. And someday you could hear him testify when he was a young man. I took him 18, 19 years of age, I used to take him soul winning and teach him, this is what works, this is what does not work, try this, try this. I go soul winning with him, and I listen to him talk, and I think almost word for word, the way I trained him to win souls years and years ago. Hey, soul winning churches, they're friendlier churches. You know something? You come into our church here, and you will notice, this is a friendly church. You say, why? We want visitors. We've been working at it all week long. And you know who's most apt to be offensive toward the visitors? The ones that are not soul winners in our church, because they don't know all the energy we put into going around the community trying to get people to come. But a soul winning church, everybody's excited. Hey, visitors, you're somebody here. We're glad you're here. We care about you. We want you to come back. We want you to stay. You're welcome here. You're accepted right this very moment. You ever walk into a church where nobody ever gets saved? It's as cold as ice. You walk in as a visitor and everybody's staring at you and you're trying to figure out, did I take somebody's seat? What did I do wrong? Why is anybody friendly toward me? No, here you sense the friendliness before you ever get out of your car. Why, this is a soul-winning church, and the Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Hey, you say, well, what's in it for me? You'll have more friends. You'll have more friends by being a soul winner. Visitors, you're not an intruder here. You're welcome here. You're wanted here. You see, I call it stingy soul winning. Stingy soul winning. Why? Look, if you'll become a soul winner, you'll have more joy in your life. God promises it. Not only that, if you'll become a soul winner, you will be wiser in all aspects of life because of your soul winning. God promises it. If you will become a soul winner, you're going to have more friends, higher quality friends, and more dependable friends. Why? That's what God said would happen. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Number four, soul winning will help you to have a softer heart. The Bible says in Psalm 126, 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Here God is talking about the compassionate heart of a soul winner. And I'll tell you what soul winning does. Soul winning softens a heart. You know, people who have no burden for souls, they're just not going soul winning. You say, "I'm not really worried about the souls of men." Why don't you start going soul winning? You'll become worried. You say, "Well, when God speaks to my heart, he spoke to your heart when he wrote it in the Bible and told you to go, you're just not obeying." To go and talk to the lost is to get a burden. But you know something, you go out sowing, I'll tell you what will happen. It'll tenderize your heart. Some of you that are meaner than a snake, some of you, you never laugh, you never smile, you never shed a tear, you've got a cold, hard heart, I can tell you what you need. You need to go soul winning. I could save somebody's marriage today. You're hard on your wife, you're hard on your husband, you're cold. When's the last time you won somebody Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you something, soul winning softens the heart. Not many weeks ago, I was driving up the road right here in Martinsburg. There was a man panhandling, standing in a corner, had a sign, "Need food for family." I pulled my truck over. Well, no, what I did is, he said he wanted some food. I went and bought some food. Then I went back and I pulled my truck over. I said, "Sir, you're asking for some food." I said, "I'd like to offer you two kinds." I handed him the bag of groceries. Then I pulled out my New Testament. We took a walk down Romans Road. I showed that fella how to be born again. Right there. Busy intersection. Matter of fact, that intersection that's right up there by the Food Lion across from Dunkin' Donuts, and now we've got the new Walgreens and CVS, and I don't know, they might put 8 or 10 more pharmaceutical places up there if they can. He was standing right there. I mean, cars everywhere. It was about 11 o'clock. There were cars everywhere. I'm standing out there and virtually in the middle of the road with this guy with my New Testament open, winning him to Jesus Christ. He bowed his head. He prayed. He asked Jesus to save him. I got back in my car, and I have a lump in my throat. And I thought, I'm glad I don't have to stand on the street and beg. My whole heart was softened for the day. And some of you, God says here, if you become a soul winner, you say, "Well, I really don't have a burden for the lost." Do you have a burden for yourself? Do you care that your heart is hard and cold? Is it possible that what you need to do is to get your eyes off yourself? Listen, if you're going to heaven, I don't care what else is going on in your life, you've got it better than everybody that's on their way to hell. You say, "I wonder if they're a millionaire." Millionaires burn in the same hell that poor people do. Seeing the loss in their lives will make a difference in your life. When was the last time you went out and found somebody that was lost in their sin and brokenhearted and told them about Jesus? Seeing what sin does to people. Seeing what sin is doing to families and men and their children will soften your heart. Here's what will happen, though. "Mrs. Owens, I think I have a softer heart toward you because of my concern for the souls of men. I think I have a softer heart toward my children because of my concern for the souls of men." If you don't believe it, you show me somebody that doesn't care about soul winning, I'll show you somebody hard to get along with. There's something about soul winning that softens the heart. I say to you, how about let's do some stingy soul winning? How about it? How about we get us some joy and we get us some wisdom and better friendships? And how about we soften our hearts? Seeing what sin does to people will soften your heart. It'll soften your heart towards your children. It'll soften your heart towards your friends. It'll soften your heart towards your mate. Some of you young people, some of you teenagers need to start showing up and go to Thursday night soul winning. You'd be easier to get along with your parents. And I could almost predict this, though I've not spoken to my son about it, I can almost predict this. You watch the attitude of the kids that used to go soul winning and that don't come anymore. I'll bet they can't get along with their parents. I'll bet they can't get along with brothers and sisters. They'll lose their heart. They become cold and hard-hearted. If you're a soul winner, you will, in general, have a more tender heart toward human beings. Yes. Have a better heart toward your husband. A better heart toward your wife. Hey, speaking of your family, a woman walked into the kitchen to find her husband stalking around with a fly swatter. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Hunting flies," he responded. "Oh, are you killing any?" she asked. "Yep. 3 males and 2 females dead." Intrigued, the wife said, "Well, how can you tell the difference?" He responded, "3 were eating food. Those were the males. 2 I killed on the telephone. Those were the wives." Hey, there's a lot of reasons why you and I should be soul winners. Indeed, God gives us reason after reason. He said, go after it for the sake of the lost and for the sake of your country and for the sake of the passion of the Lord. Go after it to reach your world and to populate heaven and to save the children and to salvage families and churches. But hey, just in case you didn't know it, there's some real stinginess down inside this thing of soul winning. There's something in it for you. You could have more joy. You could be wiser. You can have more friends and the right kind of friends. You can have a softer heart. Soul winning keeps a Christian tender. Let me tell you something. Some of the most tender people in our church are the ones that work with our bus ministry. Why? They see it. They see it. They see what sin does. They see the lives of those that are wrecked and ruined by sin. They're out there. They're in the trenches. They're visiting the homes. Soul winning keeps you from becoming hard in life. There are some of you here right now. You've hardened up some. So what do I need to do? When was the last time you won someone to Christ? A bunch of you know how. You know how. You're hard. You're cold. Win someone to Jesus. It'll soften your heart. But wait a minute. Where's another element of benefit in this stinginess of soul winning? Soul winning will help you to know the Bible better. Would you like to know your Bible better? Would you like to know more about this perfect, holy book? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, soul winners are asked Bible questions by lost people. There's nothing like being out there soul winning and have somebody ask you a Bible question and then not know the answer. I know many a soul winner that's going back to the Bible and said, study time. I don't ever want to be in that situation again. They begin to study to get the answers. Soul winners are asked many questions by their converts. Maybe they win someone to Christ, and then those converts begin to say, well, why do we do this? Or why do we do that? And why are we doing this? And why are we going that direction? And why do we believe this? Hey, you ask the bus captains that those people that they pull in through their soul winning efforts aren't asking question after question after question. You ask the Sunday school teachers that are winning people to Christ if they're not being asked question after question. And as a result of it, we've got to study our Bible. We've got to know more. God blesses soul winners with extra Bible understanding. I really believe that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here God said, you better prepare to tell anybody about that hope that you have, that eternal destiny of heaven which you have by faith claimed. You ought to be ready to tell anybody anything they want to know about salvation and what the Bible teaches. You know, you'll find out something. The great Bible scholars of history were soul winners. One of my favorite people to read, I love reading and studying Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Powerful preacher, but he was a soul winner. You see Spurgeon materials everywhere you go, but he was a soul winner. You look at Dr. John R. Rice, he was a soul winner. And Brother Hiles, he was a soul winner. You take Oliver B. Green. Boy, Oliver Green put out a lot of material. He's a good old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist, King James Bible man. He was scholarly, but wait a minute, he was a soul winner. He was a soul winner. Somehow, that understanding of the Bible, God blesses a soul winner with a unique blessing in regard to their Bible study. Let me go on. How about another? What other benefits? Hey, stingy soul winning, something to benefit you. You say, well, it's all about the lost, it's all about the world, it's all about our country, and no, it's all about you. Remember, I believe that the Lord's philosophy is he doesn't use his people to build his work, he uses his work to build his people. If you're a soul winner, God is busy building you. God is doing something inside you. God is changing you. Soul winning will help you to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Soul winning requires the help of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, it mandates the Holy Spirit. You see, as you are telling someone about Christ on the outside, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them on the inside as you're talking to the outside of them. And it is the Holy Spirit that convinces them of their need of salvation. Let me tell you, Christian, you are to walk in the Spirit. But soul winning will prompt you and help you to stay on the firing line in regard to your need of being filled with the Spirit of God. You know, I find you're more apt to find soul winners filled with the Holy Spirit than you are non-soul winners filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? The soul winner is constantly being reminded by the Spirit of God that he is necessary to win others to Christ. Some of you would intensify your ability to walk in the Spirit if you just start going soul winning, because soul winning necessitates the need of the power of God in your life, and you never go soul winning and you're hardly ever reminded of your responsibility to walk in the Spirit. And here it says that the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost for the purpose of witnessing. That is one of the primary purposes of the use of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convinces men of their need of the Savior. Walking in the Spirit, though, then, will revolutionize your entire life, not just your soul winning. Soul winning can cause you to be alert and more passionate about walking in the Spirit. But wait a minute, then the benefit of walking in the Spirit, it bleeds over into every part of life. You know what some of you need? You need to go soul winning often enough to be reminded of walking in the Spirit. Then when you get home from work at night, you're less apt to tear into your wife and tear into your husband and lose your temper and lose your testimony. You're not walking in the Spirit. You say, but I forgot. Hey, once a week, why don't you go soul winning and be reminded of the need of walking in the Spirit. You see, going soul winning is kind of stingy. Look at everything we get out of it. Look at everything that God does for you and God does for me. We have more joy if we're soul winners. We're wiser if we're soul winners. We have more friends and the right kind of friends. We have a softer heart. We'll know the Bible better. We'll walk in the Spirit more consistently. But wait a minute, there's another benefit. Soul winning will help you to separate from sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. The Lord's saying here that we as Christians are like walking testimonies of the Word of God. Sometimes your life is the only Bible someone else will read. And God wants to make sure that what they read in you is what the old book tells them life and Christianity is supposed to be. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know something? You and I need to clean up our lives because people are watching our lives. If you'll go soul winning, you'll become concerned about the way you live. If you go soul winning, you'll become more concerned about the way you live. Why? Because you know people are going to be watching. The children in children's church sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I have a light. My light is to shine. And then they sing, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm not going to cover up the purity of God with my lack of purity. I'm going to let it shine. You know, you'll clean up your life if you become concerned about the souls of men, and one of the best things you can do is clean up your life. Giving up your vice becomes easier when you're doing it for the sake of the souls of men. We change our lives for the better so we're more usable by God. Hey, look, listen to this. If you're a cussing, smoking, drinking partier, it's pretty hard to convince your lost friends that Jesus will change their life. When you walk like them, talk like them, smell like them, and you're just like them, they're going to have a hard time believing whatever you got is going to help them. And if you would become a soul winner, it would help you to clean up your life. I really believe this. There's some of you, you virtually have sins that you're really struggling to conquer. I think if you started soul winning, I think there will be a unique blessing that will help some of you to overcome some of the sins you're having a hard time to shake, because it will be for the cause and the purpose of the souls of men. I think God has a special way of even helping you a little extra. I think if you really get passionate about winning souls, and then you go to God and say, God, listen, I need to overcome this terrible habit in my life, and help me to overcome it. I want my friends to listen to me, and it's going to make a difference, and somebody's going to get saved because of it. Don't you think God's going to look down and say, you know what, you're singing my song. I think I can give you a little extra boost over the top of this mountain. You can do it. You can have victory. Soul winning will help you to clean up your life. It'll help you to clean up your life. I'll tell you something. You look at the woman at the well. Boy, she met Jesus Christ, and I don't know how much changing she did, but I'm going to tell you something. She went into town and started making an impact on a whole bunch of people. Here's what you do. You get saved, you just need to start talking about Jesus right away, and then something will begin happening. God will start cleaning up your life. You say, well, Brother Owens, I've got some bad habits in my life. Should I be a soul winner? Absolutely. You start winning souls, and that will begin to clean up your life. Let's go on. I believe soul winning will help you to pray more. Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Soul winners realize the need of time with God. Soul winners pray into the Lord of the harvest. You take the great prayer warriors of history. They were soul winners. Praying Hyde and David Brainerd and George Mueller. They were soul winners. But they were prayers. See, I think God enjoys the prayers of soul winners because they're not all stingy and self-centered. You'll be a better prayer if you're a soul winner. I really do believe that. And so, you say, Brother Owens, well, why should we win souls? Well, we can do it for the sake of the lost, and God's for that. He's told us that in the Bible, or for the sake of our country, or for the Lord, or for our world, or for heaven, or for children, or family's sake, or for our church's sake. But wait a minute. If you say, well, I really don't care about all that. Hey, do you care about yourself? I'm going to guess you do, because I know something about the human race. We're more interested in self than anybody else, and I'll tell you how I know. A whole bunch of you, you're saved. You don't want you to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You have the good sense to get saved, but you never tell anybody else about Jesus. Now tell me, is that not stingy? Well, if that's where you're living, then let me tell you what soul winning will do for you. I'd like to win you on over to the side of being a soul winner by what you get out of it. You say, well, what will I get out of it? A more joyful life. And you can get wisdom to live that life by. You can get the right kind of friends and more friends. And you can have a softer heart. And you'll know the Bible better. And you'll walk in the Spirit more. You'll learn to separate from your sin. You'll get your prayers answered. I'll tell you this, soul winning will help you to give more willingly. Give. Now we're talking about your money. Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. He's talking about laboring. When he's talking about laboring here, he's talking about laboring for eternal things. You know, I hardly ever find a soul winner that fusses about the tithe. People are concerned about the souls of men. Don't sit around and say, oh, I've got a tithe. God help you coming out of hell. It's pretty rare that you'll find a good soul winner that fusses about their missions giving. Ones that care about soldiers, man, I'm in on this thing. And just so I can remind you, you can't pay somebody else to do your soul winning for you. That goes back to those churches that may support a soul winning missionary, but nothing's happening at their church. Hey, let me ask you this question. Would our church be one of those churches that will die? You know, when a church has no missionaries getting people saved, and they're not getting anybody saved in their services, and they're not getting anybody saved out in their own personal soul winning, I told you those churches die because they don't reproduce. Let me ask you this question. If everybody in this church was the same kind of soul winner or lack thereof that you are, would this church die? Would it die? Soul winners don't fuss with you about supporting the missionaries. Soul winners don't fuss with you about giving their tithe. Soul winners love to give. Why? There's something about it. They just realize the eternal dividend. They realize that you're keeping somebody out of hell. You check the tithing record of our soul winners and then check the tithing record of the non-soul winners. The non-soul winners are the ones that will debate it when the finances get tough. Look, it's a command of God to tithe, whether times are tough or not. It's a command of God. Fair weather tithers are usually not your soul winners. You see, people that are soul winners, their hearts are tender toward God. Their hearts are tender toward the souls of men. Soul winning will help some of you to deal with your money issues in God. Not only that, soul winning will help you to become more faithful to church. Say what? Soul winning will help me to become more faithful to church? Uh-huh. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's saying that the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we ought to be more committed and more faithful to church. Why? Jesus is coming again. This is home base. This is where we rally together to try to save a lost and dying world. And the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the more we ought to be here. Why? Because we've got to get instruction. We've got to have courage so we can go out and tell a lost and dying world Jesus is coming again. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell and go through a terrible time of tribulation, and you and I ought to get excited about it, and we shouldn't want to miss any of the instruction coming. But see, soul winners are going to be more faithful to church. Soul winners are constantly inviting people to church, so they need to be here to meet the people they invited. I mean, if you're out in the community saying, hey, come to church, hey, come to church, hey, come to church, well, what are you doing? You're trying to get people under the sound of the gospel. Those of you that go to work and you're constantly inviting people to church, I'd recommend that if you invite them, you be here to meet them when they get here, because there's nothing like somebody from work coming to church and you stayed home to watch TV. Then they come in the next day and say, hey, church was good last night, wasn't it? And you weren't there. You see, soul winning and people that are out reaching others, they're more apt to be faithful to church. Soul winners win converts. You know what happens? You win someone to Christ and you get them into church, your converts are going to be watching for you. You remember back when you told them church is important? Now they're watching to see if you put your money where your mouth is. Reaching people and winning souls will cause us to be more faithful to church. Soul winners are constantly inviting people to church, so you got to be here for those people. And winning converts, now they're growing and they need to watch you grow. Soul winners come to church watching for the lost to win. Soul winners love it. I enjoy and I am glad all 72 Sunday school classes here. All the Sunday school teachers know, when you come to church on Sunday morning, if you get visitors in your class, tell them about Jesus. Go ahead and get them saved. That's very important. And you folks, I don't think some of you realize it. There are people that come to church Sunday morning, they're all excited. Say why? They're thinking, I'm probably going to win somebody to the Lord today. They're happy to be here. They've got the answer to man's ultimate problem. They know about Jesus and know how to win someone to Christ. Soul winners enjoy church more, and soul winners are going to be more faithful to church. Soul winners realize the importance of learning the Bible, so they're more productive with their soul winning. I heard announced this morning, October 4, Sunday night, October 4, we're going to have our next soul winning training course. Starts at 5:45, goes through 6:45, meets back here in this choir ready room. You say, I don't care about other people. You care about yourself, don't you? I call the sermon Stingy Soul Winning. It looks to me like I can get an awful lot out of this thing. What's in it for me? What do I get? And boy, I've not even brushed on the surface. The eternal blessings. I believe financial blessings that God brings upon the soul winner and soul winning churches. You see, their churches, they really don't believe in any type of salvation or anything. They're just a religious organization. There's some churches where virtually nobody gets saved. They say they believe in a salvation, but their missionaries don't have anybody saved. They don't have anybody saved in their church services. There's no personal soul winning. Then there are churches that will give their missionaries some money, and some missionaries will get somebody saved. But they don't have anybody saved in their church services, and they have no personal soul winning. Now, there are some churches that their missionaries get some saved, and every once in a while in their church service, somebody will get saved. People are a little shocked. There are churches everywhere where you got to fill the baptistry 2 weeks in advance expecting for someone to get baptized because they don't really expect it to happen. We'll baptize once a year. They're not really expecting anybody to get saved. God help us today that baptistry uses storage 51 weeks out of the year. We're putting converts in it. But they don't have any personal soul winning at that church. Then there are churches where their missionaries are getting people saved. They're getting people saved in their church service. And the congregation realizes the personal responsibility that they have. They are personally commissioned by God to keep people out of hell. Missionaries are seeing saved, their church services are seeing them saved, and the individuals are seeing them saved. That's the kind of church that we are. That's the kind of church the Bible teaches. Where are you in there? Hey, if you were a church, where would you be in there? If you were the pastor, what kind of church? Based on your testimony, not your words. On your testimony. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to be saved. The Bible teaches that everybody is a sinner. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for your sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The Bible teaches that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and ask Him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. He'll save you and take you to heaven someday when you die, but you have to receive Him. If you've never been saved and you're a guest here today, why don't you get saved? There are a lot of wonderful things about it. You can go to heaven and you don't have to go to hell. Hey, and you know something else? Somebody in here, you ought to get saved so we can teach you how to go get your friends saved. Boy, there's a lot of blessing in that. What an opportunity. Some of you could go get your family saved. Some of you could go get your neighbor saved. Somebody in here knows somebody and they're hurting, but you need to get saved so we can show you how to go get the hurting saved in your life. I call it stingy soul winning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.